This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins a national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
Scott sent a text in. He wants me to call the gorilla that Arkansas batters get when they have the best game. He wants me to call it an action figure and not a doll. Action figure, I always remember that on the commercials, like your Kenner commercials, your Star Wars figures, your G.I. Joes, you know, even the Transformers, those sort of things. I get the idea of the action figure because these are action characters, but I just feel like action figure, it's like the idea of calling something a tissue when it used to be called bathroom tissue, bathroom tissue. Toilet paper has some sort of a connotation. People just don't want to hear the word toilet. So bathroom tissue was thrown out there. We all know what this stuff is. An action figure is a doll. I think it was just a term to make boys feel better about their dolls. So I'll keep going with the doll, the gorilla doll, until I'm told otherwise by those who are holding on to it.
Well, it could be like they could do a scream mask, maybe. You know, you could go a whole new thing.
Sounds like a horrendous idea.
It's a bad idea. Okay, they're not all winners today. All right.
I'm just picturing this, though. Hey, that's a great app, Batman. Go ahead and put this really scary Halloween costume. Put the Michael Myers mask on
your
head.
There you go.
I love where we're going with this. And baseball, well, college baseball can't go to October, so maybe when the World Series is played on Halloween, you get somebody with a Freddy Krueger mask when he hits a home run.
Yeah, when they get, so the next time they get up into the batter's deck, they still call it a batter's deck, batter's circle, whatever they call it, but they get to wear the mask while they're warming up. So if they're the one that has it, they get to, and then they take it off before they go up there, there you go.
This is very Savannah
Bananas. Imagine the scary movie mask with the guy holding the bat just kind of getting ready. Yeah, you'd be like, oh, that pitcher doesn't want to face him.
Yeah, this is definitely something the Savannah Bananas have either done or will be doing at some point. But I think you have a theme. If you're a baseball team that kills the baseball over and over again, well, you go with a slasher theme. Now you can get the Jason hockey mask. You can have the Freddy Krueger mask. Maybe even replace the fielder's glove with the knife glove. You can get the Michael Myers mask. Am I forgetting any of the other great masks in scary movie history? The Scream mask is the one you came up with.
Well, if you get a lot of walks, you could be the No Country for Old Men bad guy that just walks after everybody, you know? Like if you're used to Javier Bardem, is that his name? Javier's his first Bardem, name. Yeah. I can't say
Bardem.
His, yeah. Have one of the best scary movie characters ever.
Oh, it's just the stare.
Right?
Just put that character's Chigurh face on the video board.
Yeah, that's his name, Chigurh. Yeah.
That's hilarious. That's good. See, we're having, this is the kind of thing. It's a team that's having fun. It is a team that is having fun. You've been around a team, Matt, that almost like looks like they're trying to act like they're having fun, but you know what's really going on in their minds. Like athletes give each other all kinds of crap, and they should. So you had this fun situation in the baseball series this weekend where you got Ross Lovich playing against his brother, Jackson Lovich. Jackson is the first baseman for Mizzou. And then the youngest brother, who's Eli, is an outfielder that's in high school around Kansas City. Overland Park is where they're from, and he's committed to play at Arkansas. But Ross is the oldest brother, but he's the shortest of them. Like Jackson Lovich has these long arms, long legs. He's a tall first baseman. I think Eli is got the same body type. But then there's Lovich, who looks like he's shorter by maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 inches. He just looks different. I'd asked him about it. He said, you know, that he didn't get the tall genes. Everybody else in his family is tall except for him. So the guys on Sunday around the batting cage during BP, they're calling Ross little brother. He had a great series, and he took it. He was smiling. He was enjoying it. It's just a team right now that you can tell really likes being around each other. And so much of that has to do that they're just playing well. But I think that there's chemistry. And they also have a sense that, you know, I think they were putting pressure on themselves to hit. There's two reasons right now that I don't think they feel that pressure. One of them is the return of Peyton Stovall to the lineup. The other is when you have a pitching staff that is this good, you just don't need to score as many runs as you used to need to score. I have to go back and look at the record for Arkansas last year, just how many times they'd allowed three or fewer runs in a game. You know, Arkansas this year already, nine games, they've allowed one or no runs. Nine games. And they've played, how many games have we played here? 19. No, 17 and 2 is 19. Yeah, 19 games. Nine of them, no runs or one run allowed. So the hitters, they know, hey, we don't have to go out and score 7, 8, 9 runs a game. I just don't see the pressure on their faces. I think I saw a little bit of that last year just because they had to score more runs than they have to score this year. And there's less pressure on fielders because they're striking out 14 batters a game. And I just don't know if you can keep that going against the competition that's coming up. But there's a lot less mental pressure on everybody on that baseball team because the pitching is so good. And I think, Matt, that just leads to them joking around, you know, having fun.
Well, winning is contagious, and it solves a lot of problems. Not saying there's problems going on, but winning, man, that's it. When you're winning, going to practice is better. Going to watch film is better. I mean, that's what you play the game for. It'd be interesting to see because there will be some adversity that comes on, and so it'd be interesting. I think they'll respond fine, but it'll ebb and flow a little bit. I think for the most part, I'm with you. I see this team being all right, being ranked. As long as nobody major gets hurt, I think they'll be a top 10 team all year.
You know, the last year, this was the time of the year where guys were going down with injuries. Now this year, you've got not only is Stovall back, but he looks like he's maybe ready to have the best year of his career at Arkansas. And you still have a couple of other pitchers, and pardon me for that noise. You still have a couple of other pitchers who haven't even thrown yet that have the potential to be really important pieces of this pitching staff. Ben Bibee is one of them, and the other is Hunter Dietz. You know, Bibee came down with mononucleosis, otherwise he'd have pitched by now. I don't know if they'll have him on the roster this weekend just because I don't know if they want him to make his debut against Auburn. But I would be incredibly surprised if he doesn't maybe start against Little Rock next Tuesday when they're back home. And then there's Dietz. Like he's a left-hander that probably shouldn't have even made it to campus. He should have been drafted and he should have signed, but it didn't work out that way. He wanted to come play at Arkansas, and he had the little elbow procedure in October, not a major surgery. So he's just kind of started a little bit behind the eight ball, but he's working his way into shape, and I think he's at the point where they're probably thinking about him pitching in April, and he's somebody that apparently could be dominant. So they're getting healthier, and there are other guys who are coming down the pike in the next 2 to 3 weeks that could actually maybe even make this pitching staff deeper and better, which is just crazy to think about. Just crazy, crazy to think about. 877-377-6963 for calls and texts on the McLarty Daniel hotline. We got a lot of those texts came in. Fred wants the baseball team to hang out with football and basketball if winning is contagious.
Well, you know, you make me think of something Pep Guardiola says about Manchester City. He says we got Ferraris in the garage, and right. To what you're saying is we got starters that are backups right now, but they can go out and start. That's a good problem to have.
Yeah, I think you have. So it's like next year's starting rotation is in the bullpen right now.
We got starters in the garage. That's
and they're
right.
Guys who might be starting for a lot of other teams in the SEC, even as freshmen. But there's just no place for them to start right now because you have this ridiculous weekend rotation. Brandon thinks it's a team that can go all year without losing a series, maybe sweeping a lot of them. I mean, we've seen a team do that before. The 2021 team did that until, of course, the Super Regional. This team's better than that team. I really do think so. You know, that team was so much about Kevin Copps. I mean, he was a hero that year. That was a pitching staff that was fully dependent on one pitcher. This is not that. This is a staff. I mean, a whole staff of dudes. So, yes, I mean, they have the capability of doing that, but it's just incredibly hard to win 10 consecutive series in the SEC, much less sweeping any of them. But can this team do it? I think they can, yeah.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit ArlingtonHotel.com for more details. That's ArlingtonHotel.com.
BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or mobile device. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team. And remember to use the promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here.
Mike, what's going on with Mus right now? You know, people are looking over social media, looking over, I guess, Danielle, did she delete her Twitter? They're looking at Mus's bio, wondering, is he going to leave? What do you know of what's going on with Mus right now?
You know, all I know is what I think I've talked about it before. This is almost over a month ago. I had someone who's not a typical source for me, but is in a position to know, approach me and said that he had some pretty good information that Musselman had been holding off on signing a contract extension, and there were rumors he was looking at Louisville. I haven't heard anything else along those lines, and none of my other sources that I use think that he's gone. But some people I work with think there's at least a kind of a 60-40 chance that he is. And I guess we'll find out who's right and who's wrong. I mean, all I know is right now he's still the coach, and he's apparently looking at portal guys. So we'll see how it goes.
Hey, did you watch any of these conference championship games? Or do you have a problem with any of these number four seeds? How do you feel about this tournament? Will you fill out a bracket?
No, I don't ever do that. I mean, I just, you know, it's. I think you got to get lucky to win one of these bracket things, you know, because there are usually so many upsets. I don't have any real problems. I think a lot of people get bent out of shape when teams, when some of these conference champions in the smaller conferences lose, and therefore they don't get in, so somebody else gets in, or maybe two teams get in, and you only thought one was going to get in, so it knocks out some of these last four ends. But I'm not, you know, if it was up to me, and people hate this idea, but I'd do away with conference tournaments and use this past week every year to just double the size of the tournament. 128 teams, eliminate that play-in stuff, and let the first week be seeded teams, whoever's the highest seeded team gets to play at home. That would generate a lot of revenue. Let the conferences keep their own money. Don't give it to the NCAA. They don't need any more money. And then if you can go to somebody else's place and knock them off, big deal. You know, that's great. But it will eliminate all the complaining and gnashing of teeth. And it would, I think then the committee, really what they would end up doing is mostly just seeding teams. They wouldn't have to, you know, sit around and worry about who gets in and who doesn't. There'd still be some that wouldn't, but that's what I would favor. But nobody asked me.
Well, I mean, so there's so much focus on, you know, who was left out and who's seeded here and there and everything. All I know is that when I look at the SEC tournament, maybe A&M played their way in, that which surprises me, because I've always kind of felt like you don't make your resume based upon winning a couple of games in the conference tournament. It might depend on who it is you beat, but Tennessee played their way off the number one line. You know, and if I'm a Tennessee fan, I got to be really nervous right now that you go into the end of the big tournament with back-to-back losses.
Well, the whole SEC's got something to prove, because the last few years, the league hasn't done very well. Arkansas has done well, but they're not in it now. So some of these other people are saying, you know, Kentucky has the best path to the Final Four? Well, we'll see. But, you know, Calipari does not have a good record over the last 7, 8, 9 years in the NCAA tournament. So we'll see if it, this year can be different. But I'm going to remain skeptical. The league, it looks balanced, and I guess it is, but it just, the history of the last few years is when these SEC teams get in the NCAA tournament, they don't do well. And Tennessee is one of those teams.
That could be an interesting matchup, I believe, in that side of the bracket. I think the committee does that stuff on purpose a little bit, but Texas-Tennessee matchup could be all right. So give me one team, Mike, out of the SEC you think could win it. If you're saying the SEC needs to prove itself, Auburn's talented. They play as a team. They kind of walk through all their games in the SEC tournament. You think they could do something big and win the Natty this year?
I see them going farther than anybody else. Do I think they'll win it all? Bruce Pearl said they were going to win 9 starting last week. I don't see that, but they might make the Final Four. And Kentucky, it could happen for them. Those are the two teams I would look at.
They're athletic. Yeah, both those teams. I mean, Kentucky, the thing that worries me is they can't get stops. You know, that's the one thing that Coach Cal, you could always rely on when they had their good teams is they could buckle down and get stops. And, hey, they got the best athletes, so maybe they buy in, and at the right moment they could turn it on.
Sure. And, you know, who knows? I mean, you know what happens when you run a lot? You expend a lot of energy, so you play – 2 games in what, 4 days or whatever it is, sometimes you can run out of juice. We really saw that, I thought, in the conference tournament. I thought Arkansas played well. I thought they played well up until halftime, you know, the South Carolina game. But you could just look at the minutes played against Vandy, and then you watch it drop the next time out because those guys were gassed. And so that's always something to look at the NCAA tournament, too. You know, how do you play? What's your style? And do you have the bench? And can you run? If you like to run, can you run and win 2 games in a weekend like that? There's always a number of factors.
As far as it's concerned for Arkansas, we know Manifield, Harris, and Pinion have gone into the portal, just assuming there will be more that are on the way. You know, it's just, it reminds me of the end of football season where we're just sort of like, all right, it's announcement season too, announcing them going into the portal or announcing them staying. And, you know, I just expect this will be a pretty busy week as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, just looking early on at some of these guys in the portal, I was scanning over looking for bigs, and man, there's some big guys that average 2 points a game. I don't think you want to go after one of those guys. So it's not enough just that you've got a lot of people in there. You got to find somebody that you think can come in and help. And then I think the lesson learned this year with Muss is, I've talked about this before, he's a old school guy, very intense. And when you bring a guy in that's never been coached that way, and especially if he's all over you and then you don't exactly do what he wants in practice, so he has a habit of, you're not playing until you show me you can do this. So you go back and forth with him on that, and then if you don't end up playing much, you're mad. And then that becomes a disruptive influence on the team. So I think you've got to be very careful this time around to make sure that whoever he brings in here understands this is how I coach, and maybe try to find somebody that's been coached that way before.
Yeah, there's a big from Oklahoma State who started a lot of games. It's Garrison. He's a 6'11 center, 7.5 points per game. He might be.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. Do you think then, is there going to be an announcement with Coach Muss, like as far as, hey, he's coming back? Or are we going to know? Do we know anything in the next 48 hours or so?
Boy, it would be good. I mean, you would hope that something, but the point is, you see all these coaches whose names were out there, and then they've come up and said, no, I'm back. He hasn't, as far as I know, signed a contract extension, and I think that's what the announcement has to be. I've signed an extension, and we don't have that yet. So until you have it, I think there are people, I don't know, Razorback fans have been, I see some worried a little bit, but a lot of people, fans kind of deal with this year to year, and right now they're kind of bummed out. So it's like, oh, well, if he leaves, they'll find somebody else. And sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. I mean, Arkansas went a long time without winning the way Muss has won, I don't think anybody wants to go back, you know, down that road again.
The whole idea here too is so there will be a coach for the men's basketball team. It's just you have to have a coach, but players want to know who it is they're going to be playing for. So you got to have you got to have the extension announcement first before you're even worried about who's out there in the portal and who fits the team next year, because they want to know who they're playing. They're not going to come to Arkansas if they don't think Muss is going to be the coach now.
That's true. That's the biggest issue. You're not bringing in four or five guys when there's no word on what you're doing. So again, you would think fairly quickly this has to get resolved. I've asked myself if he did leave, what Juracek would do, and I think you may be looking at a younger, up and coming coach. You know, somebody that you can pay less money to. But I want to see if he ends up doing what he claimed he was going to do when he was hired, which is offer performance incentive contracts. In other words, I'll pay you a little more money than I normally would, and I'll have a bunch of incentives in here, but I'm not paying you $12 million or $15 or $20 million to lose when we have to fire you. We're not getting into that situation again. So, you know, sooner or later, he's got to deal with that issue, because that's the biggest thing that I think is going on in athletics right now. There are not many schools like A&M that can just pull back and get $80 million to get rid of a coach.
Baseball was fun to watch this last weekend, Mike. You know, I think the nation's focus is on basketball. But it feels like Arkansas focus a little more on baseball now with the number one team. And you can't do much better than outscoring an SEC team 23-1. I don't know how good Mizzou is. In fact, I think they're going to have trouble winning any series in the SEC. But the Hogs did with them, I think, what they probably should have done with them.
Yeah, I mean, what do you face? 27 batters and they score one run? Talk about dropping your staff ERA. They're now number one in the country. And number one in strikeouts. Had one of these Ask Mike questions where the guy was happy, but he said, man, I'm scared. Because every time something looks good for me as a Razorback fan, there's always the boogeyman waiting around the corner. And I said, well, look, here's the best thing I can tell you. In baseball, if you want something to hang on to, pitching is it.
Yep.
I'm not saying it can't change, but it doesn't change the way other things change. And they got some more guys. They got, I think, a couple more pitchers are set to join the staff. So, you know, they're just deep. And they all these guys pitch, and you're looking for somebody that's a problem, and it just seems like every time, Dave Van Horn puts somebody on the mound, they deliver. I mean, you've got such depth. Your starters are 9-0. You just can't get much better than that. And I think when your pitching is that good, you're going to be there.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. March is Seltzer Month. Try the Mr. Beast Variety Packs, Smirnoff Smash Vodka Sodas, New High Noon Variety Packs, Absolute Vodka Cranberry Variety Packs, and Clubtail Crushers. Come by Eastside Liquor at 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith for all your liquor needs. Now, back to the podcast.
Back on halftime here, looking at news that Leighton Vander Esch is going to retire after being released by the Dallas Cowboys, 6 seasons, had a lot of injuries. I remember it was a neck injury.
Linebacker, man, he was a stud. Boise State guy, I think. He was good for a while. His that was his whole thing, was being injured a little bit.
Pro Bowl as a rookie, 140 tackles that year. Neck issues a concern entering the draft and continued to be a problem for him. So retiring at the age of 28. Cowboys also reworking Dak Prescott's massive salary cap, according to ESPN as well. $5 million roster bonus converted into a signing bonus and reducing the cap hit by $4 million, but it is still a $55 million cap hit for the Cowboys to have Dak Prescott.
It's pretty cool that he renegotiated to get his $5 million earlier. So that was good. It's good for him.
You know, his
team first.
Agents know what they're doing. Definitely know what they're doing. What'd you think of the Steelers trading Kenny Pickett and trading for Justin Fields all on the same day?
You got such a good culture there, such good environment, a winning environment. And Russell Wilson, say what you want about him. Now, maybe they've talked about it, that he's going to be a mentor of some kind. And you have to think, I think Russell would shine in that role. You know, I think that's a role that, you know, if he's because if you look at about what he preaches about, you know, then you would think that he wouldn't be a guy that's like, no, I don't care. You know, it was that Brett Favre that said that about Aaron Rodgers. He's like, he can learn on his own. I'm not here to tutor the kid, you know. And so, but you think, so if you got Justin Fields can learn from Russell Wilson for a year or two, I mean, it's a great, you got, and both of them are on essentially rookie deals, because Justin Fields is on a rookie deal and Denver's paying Russell Wilson. So you can go kind of get some pieces to work with them. I mean, it makes sense. If Justin Fields is the future, if he can figure it out, you give him another year to learn. And they're kind of similar, so you don't have to change the offense up too much, too. So I think it's a good, I mean, I think it's a good move.
Talk about remaking your quarterback room for hardly any money at all.
I think you got better, too. If that's what you want to say as far as in the quarterback room, I think it's a better QB room now.
Well, they also traded Deontay Johnson, who was a very upset wide receiver, to a place where who knows if Carolina wins any games, and trade Kenny Pickett to a place where, well, maybe Jalen Hurts gets hurt at some point, but he's a pretty sturdy quarterback. I know he runs a bit, but I don't know how often he'll get out there and play. So I do think they got better. It's just that happened really fast. You know, they had three quarterbacks in the room. Trubisky signed with the Bills. Rudolph signing with the Titans, now Pickett's with the Eagles, and then you bring in Russell Wilson to start, I think, for a year. I mean, Fields knows he's coming in to be a backup and to learn, and then, you know, see what happens in the future. But for
catch your breath.
I don't know if I don't think Tomlin's going to have his first losing season next year now. I feel pretty good with that defense, and maybe draft a center when they get to when it's draft day. But that was just an interesting, really interesting few days to be a Steeler fan and just to be a Steeler. 877-377-6963 for calls and texts on the McLarty Daniel hotline.
Well, Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson has one of the best play action. He's one of the best play action quarterbacks in the game. So you got to have a running game. I think Tomlin wants to have a running game. I think if you're Pittsburgh cold, you want to have a running game. Who's your running back right now at Pittsburgh?
Najee Harris, so Jalen Warren, too. They got two good backs.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, I got to go. I'll be headed to Tulsa. I got a women's basketball invitational tournament game Thursday. I'll be skipping out on the Auburn baseball series this weekend. There's a little. So you got all these teams that are declining bids to the NIT. I don't know the situation with the WBIT, if any women's teams declined bids to that tournament. There's a little mystery going on now with Arkansas women's basketball as to what the roster looks like, who's actually available to play in this tournament. It's been, I think, a month since Talia Scott was even with the team. She's been gone home in Florida with this serious family emergency, and there have been zero details coming out about it. So I'm at the point, I've kept Talia on my spotting board just in case. I'm taking her off the spotting board now because I don't see her playing now for this team. Who knows what happens in the near future? And then there's Sailor Poffenbarger. And, you know, Sailor had the concussion that kept her out of the SEC tournament game, but she was there with the team. Just you could see that she was feeling the effects of when she hit her head in the finale against Ole Miss. But now there's like some intrigue as to what's happened with Poffenbarger or if she is on the team. And it's just, I'm looking at the social media for the team and, you know, they're trying to at least portray to their fans and followers that we're here practicing, we're getting ready for whatever tournament we have a chance to play in. Now, they knew it was not going to be the NCAA tournament. They didn't have the resume for it. But they also knew that with the newly created tournament that the NCAA owns, which is this new 32-team WBIT, that they would make either that or they would make the NIT. So they send out these photos to show we're practicing, we're getting ready for basketball. There were 8 photos. None of them featured Sailor Poffenbarger. I saw Michaela Daniels. I saw Samara Spencer. I saw Miriam Dowda. Those are 3 really important players to this team, and they've started every game. So is Sailor. Didn't see a photo of her. So that to me came off a little bit as, is she still there? So there is some intrigue going on with this. If she's not there, you're down to 8 players. And truthfully, like 3 or 4 of them don't get a chance to play very often. We've seen some players get out there a little more now. Carly Keats, Carly Johnson. Emery, of course, has been out there and has played quite a bit. But they just don't have a lot of... If Sailor plays, well, then you got 9, and you have a great rebounder who can score for you sometimes. If she doesn't play, if she's not there, you're down to 8 players in a 32-team tournament, and that's just not a lot of players to play basketball. And that's what they were dealing with in Greenville, just a roster that you didn't have a lot of bodies wearing a uniform. So I'm just not quite sure what the situation is with that. It looks like Talia Scott has entered the portal, so it looks like that has been confirmed now. So, and there's no surprise about that. You know, it was a month ago that she left the team for a serious family emergency, and then there were no details anymore that came after that. So maybe everybody knew by then that she was transferring, but that was not said then. But look, I think the last game she played, it might have been at Florida. I'd have to double check this, which of course is where she's from. So what was the emergency? I don't know what the emergency was. But it seemed pretty obvious she wasn't interested in playing at Arkansas any longer. This is a great scorer. This is somebody that I could only imagine would get some NIL money from a program that has NIL money available to them. I don't know how much of NIL money Arkansas has for women's basketball, to be quite honest. So maybe she's out there looking for a better deal. I just wonder if she finds a program where she'll get all of that freedom that she seemed to crave to work really hard to try to get her own shot, and would sometimes force them up. So, yeah, the last game she played was Tennessee. That's right. The Florida game was before that. And so that was the 12th of February. It's been more than a month.
Things happen fast. I wonder how there's no tampering if these kids know already that they got a better deal somewhere else when nothing's open. So it's when you say it's wild on the frontier, it is wild out there.
The serious family emergency starts a few days after they play in Florida, which was about, I think, like 30 minutes away from her hometown. Very interesting. But this is the state of college sports now, and just as happens to be a fact. And now I'm kind of wondering, you know, what, again, my whole idea in this last segment was what the situation is with Sailor. You know, you want to, that's a player that's only a redshirt sophomore, and there's still room for her to get better and more consistent as a scorer. I think she rebounds just about as well as anybody in the country. She's got a lot of room that she could probably score a little bit more, too. That's also a player that might be looking for a better NIL deal. Who knows? I have a little trouble believing what I hear now sometimes. And everybody does, you know. Was it really a serious family emergency that caused Talia Scott to leave the basketball program? Or did she just not like playing there now? Because that's what it comes off as. So the day that the portal opens, you go into the portal, when it was fully expected by now, but no reason to harp on that too much. 877-377-6963, calls and texts on the McLarty Daniel hotline. Did you watch? You got your Elite Eight set, Matt. If we've got a 68-team tournament,
for both men's and women's basketball and a few other tournaments as well. The biggest tournament in the world right now is the Champions League, and you got your. Do they really call it an Elite Eight?
No, it's probably called the quarterfinals, and then you'd go to the semis. But yeah, it's definitely getting real. But you have the FA Cup that's at the Final Four, and I watched a little bit of that over the weekend. City got past Newcastle 2-0. Silva had a brace, and they both were deflected goals. You know, they were on target. Kind of deflected, so it was all good. But then there was a real instant classic.
A Clasico?
Liverpool and Man United, yeah. They were at Old Trafford there, and it went to extra time. It was about to go to penalty kicks, right? I mean, it was like last type of second, you know, 2 minutes left. And Man United stole it with a 4-3 win. So they go on to play Coventry City, and it's so cool, the FA Cup, because you got City versus Chelsea. There are both big dogs, but it's like the U.S. Open. What I was talking about, it would be like George Mason making it to the Coventry City's like George Mason. I mean, if you want to pick an 11 seed, I think a lot of people are picking New Mexico to make it to the Final Four.
The 11 seeds are Oregon, New Mexico, Duquesne, and NC State. I'm going to have to root for Duquesne for this tournament. Now, I get a Pittsburgh team. I've never been to a Duquesne basketball game, but they're actually closer to downtown than Pitt is. The Dukes.
I like it.
I'll choose the Dukes.
Yeah.
Get BYU, yeah. I mean, so we're all supposed to pick a 12 seed, probably two 12 seeds to win a game too, right? If we're just going by history of the tournament. 12, the 5-12, let's call it the 12-5 game because everybody loves the 12 seed, not the 5 seed. San Diego State, UAB. UAB being the favorite because they're the 12 seed. Grand Canyon and St. Mary's. Grand Canyon, the favorite because they're the 12 seed. Did you see the way that their championship game ended in that conference?
Homie threw the ball at him?
Homie threw the ball at him after Grand Canyon throws a floor-length pass for a dunk in a 10-point game. I guess there were like, what, 4 seconds left? And then dude picks the ball up and fires it at him like it's dodgeball.
Well, that's just bad coaching, and that's bad on all your parts. If you don't want to get beat by 10 and you don't want them dunking on your head, play better. You know, while the game's going, if they dunk it on you, well, tough, man. You don't get to throw a tantrum and do. That's just bad, man. That's probably a bad locker room guy right there.
Well, you had good aim. I say that he hit.
He's probably an athlete. He's on scholarship. I mean, I'm sure he can do it. But that's just not. I mean, what are you teaching these kids, man? You know, you just got beat. They get the right to celebrate. That's celebrating the right way too. Going and dunking one. Like, I mean, you play better. You know, play better if you don't want to lose.
Did one of the Auburn players threaten to pick up a ball after Devo dunked it 2 years ago and throw it at him? We would have been throwing it at about 17,000 fans coming down the aisles. The worst, though, and I'd have to look the kid's name up. You saw how Kent State lost the MAC championship.
I did not. Right?
They're up. Kent State down a point against Akron. Make a bucket. 6 seconds left. One of the Kent State players forgets that they have the lead now. He thinks they're still trailing. Inbound, he fouls intentionally. He didn't get called for an intentional foul. He didn't realize they're up one. He thought that they needed Akron to go to the free throw line. He fouls them. Akron makes two free throws, wins the MAC championship. Mm. Just like that. Never heard anything like that.
Got to have some awareness. J.R. Smith did something like that in the finals a few years ago. He went and got a rebound and took off, and all he had to do was go right back up with it. You got to kind of know, you know, they teach you that as a quarterback, you know, down, distance, time, what's going on. It's like
cross the goal line before you lose the football.
Got to have
right?
a little basketball IQ.
Three strikes instead of two. Though I think we also had an umpire that forgot to count this last weekend, which was very interesting. If you'd missed it earlier, Talia Scott has announced she's going into the transfer portal. It's been a month since she last played for Arkansas. Fabulous freshman will be playing somewhere else. And it doesn't look like any men's players have gone into the portal yet today. Nor is there any update on whether or not Eric Musselman still has a job as the Razorback basketball coach. But it seems to me like if you're worried about signing an extension, does that kind of come down? I guess one of two things has to happen. Either all the other jobs end up getting filled, and so you stay where you are, or you get the dollar figure you're asking for from the athletic director or the athletic department and put your name on paper. But if you wait, like if you're waiting, you're not going to get anybody out of the portal that you want. You'll be in this maybe a bit of the same position as last year, just like missing on some big men that you really want to go after. But then again, Matt, like, so this is the first week. This is it. This is the week that the portal opens. How many players are going to be making their decisions now? Do you wait until you get to the end of the basketball tournament? I don't remember what it looked like last year. Like, if there were a whole bunch of players making their decisions before the tournament was over, just felt like there was a flurry of decisions when the tournament ended, which makes it feel a little different than football season.
I think you still go to these schools based a little bit on the relationship with the coach, wanting to play for certain coaches. I know it's totally different now as far as with the money added to it, but surely they're talking, Coach Muss and who's ever recruiting and his staff, they're talking to these players and they know what's, you know, they know what's up.
Ben in Fayetteville sends a text, should any SEC team, especially Arkansas, ever celebrate making the NIT? I don't know if people, like, if you're celebrating making the NIT, you start winning games, well, there's something worth celebrating in that case. Just getting a bid is not enough. I mean, that's all that tells you is that you had at least a resume to make it to a secondary tournament. But go play well in that tournament, go win the tournament, or like last year, I mean, they had a nice run. They had a nice run to go to the quarterfinals of the women's NIT, and I know that was something that they felt proud of. You know, going one and out in a secondary tournament, no, you're not going to brag about that. I just don't see that you would. But it's different for programs that are, I think, in the Sun Belt or in the Big West, you know, those levels of tournaments. They do put their NIT bids on a banner and hang them in their arena. The Hogs don't do that. They have the banner from the NIT championship, from the women's NIT title. They do celebrate that. It's worth celebrating. But just getting the bid is not, I don't think.
I agree with you. But it is an opportunity to go play. I'm all for it. You know, to get out there, go play again. And if you win it, man, it's something to be proud of. You get to cut the nets down. That's a tournament.
Oh, he makes the point. I mean, women's team hasn't won an NCAA tournament since 2015.
Very a game. Well aware. They haven't won a tournament game since 2015.
That's right. And that was a win over Northwestern and then lost to Baylor 2 days later. I'm aware of that. I was there for it. And I was there also for the disappointing losses in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, I think you don't want to say no to the bid. I get that. You want to be competitive. That's what coaches are. That's what players are. So, you know, I don't know who makes the decision. If it's a matter of we take a vote or coach says, look, you're on this team until the season is over. And the season is not over now. So we're going to go play in this thing. But it's never good to go to a secondary tournament and lose the first game. Like that's, I would almost like rather not be there. You know what I mean? You lose in the NCAA tournament. Well, you got the bid. They're going to put that on a banner. If you count all your bids, they'll put that on a banner sometimes. But losing a first round game in the BIT or the WNIT is not a good look. You know, it's worse than losing in the first round of the NCAA tournament. That's for sure.
But what if they let you take the ball and throw it at the opponent one time? You get one throw. You know, it's like, okay, that was worth it. You get it out as that other player did.
Just one. I think there's got to be some sort of game of skill at Dave and Buster's or Fast Lane that's exactly that. Throw the basketball at the guy who just dunked it when you didn't like that he dunked it. That all works. Oh, see, and then there's, see, now the texts come in about the social media and seeing people all nervous.
That would alert me a little bit. I think that's the first sign, right? Instead of tracking a plane, you know how that used to be the thing 25 years ago? It was like, well, I tracked the plane. There was a plane there. Now it's whenever he scrubs whatever they do to their social media, if that goes ghost, wouldn't that alarm you a little bit?
So Muss's Twitter still says head coach, University of Arkansas men's
then,
basketball.
Then he's still the head ball coach. That's right.
Greg in Mulberry says that his wife told him that Muss and his wife have wiped their social media Razorback ties. Well, Muss is Twitter, and he's an active tweeter, although it's been 12 days since he last tweeted.
That was a win.
That was a home win over LSU. You know, he always takes that photo in the student section. But what is there to tweet about right now? You know,
they won a game against Vandy in the SEC tournament. That was something to tweet about.
I don't think he did though.
Yeah, that would be alarming right there.
So the other person that is mentioned there is Danielle. And on Danielle's Twitter, it says former sports anchor, current GM of Team Musselman, mom, stepmom, basketball wife. Doesn't say anything about Arkansas. Does it have to? Does it have to say wife of Razorback head basketball coach? I mean, it seems to me that she would identify herself through her own things in some cases, because the first thing she puts there is former sports anchor and mom and general manager of Team Mus. So, I mean, look, that's good for her. She doesn't need to identify herself through the Razorbacks. So I don't, again, we'll make what we want to make from seeing these things. If you get nervous because someone told you that somebody's Twitter doesn't say that they work at a place anymore, well, I get it. Well, Muss's Twitter still says that he's the head coach at Arkansas. So I don't know. Is there something to be nervous? Everybody wants to be nervous about this now.
What do you think? Do you think I think he's going to be the Razorback head basketball
coach. I do
coach.
Too.
Okay. I think I'm. Yeah,
I do too. And it was like, I remember watching the presser after the loss in Nashville, and I'm watching his body language, watching his face, and maybe I'm just being naive about it, and I probably am being naive about it. I saw a coach who looked humbled, who had never been in that position, who doesn't like it, and looked determined to get that program that he has identified with more so than any other program now back to where they've been in the previous two, three years. I did not see somebody that was looking at job hopping at that moment. Now, it's days after that. I don't know what's in his head, but for a competitor like him, it seemed to me that he was more interested in his current job. But like Mike said, if he doesn't sign a contract extension, you know, what is it you're going at? You're trying to get a raise? You're balancing your contract against contracts of other coaches in the league and just, you know, trying to apply premium amount of pressure to an athletics department based upon some other jobs that might be open. And maybe that's what's going on.
So my thing is, what's the norm? What's informed? Does he sign a contract extension after every single season? You know, because last year I get it. You know, the last couple of years you're having success. Did he do something to warrant a contract extension? I mean, doesn't he still have a 3 or 4 year deal left? What's the normal thing that goes on?
I think sometimes it's yes. What have you done for me lately? But it's also, what are the other people that are doing the same job getting paid?
And it
keeps going higher, you know, year by year based upon that. So, look, I mean, an agent might not be doing his or her job if he or she does not try to maximize the earning potential of whomever the client is, no matter how you do it, you know, planting stories, you know, you see Muss's name thrown around about Louisville. Where is that coming from? It's the same thing with dropping football coaches' names in to this search or that search. And yet you fully know that Jimmy Sexton's people probably made a phone call to a writer that they know, and it's going to help somebody get a little extra money on the next contract. Maybe that coach didn't necessarily deserve the contract based upon what happened that year, but it's market value. You know, you are worth what you sign for, no matter if you sign after a winning season or a losing season.
I think you're right. Usually that first name that comes out that's off the top rope, you know, that they're throwing out there making it, that never happens. You know, every time you're hearing a thing, you know, Mike Norville, he's going to be the next A&M coach. That was the first name that's out, and then not even, you know, that didn't happen.
Bruce asks, why would you give a raise for sucking? You have to look at it differently. It's not a matter of a raise for sucking. It's a matter of, do you want to keep that coach? That's the question to ask. Jason in Frankfurt is on the McLarty Daniel hotline. Hey, Jason, what's going on?
Yeah, you're really onto something, Phil. Good to talk to you guys. You're onto something with the idea of just wanting to keep him. I certainly understand that altogether. He seems to be worthy of keeping. My my gut feel on this is that Louisville may hire Cronin out of UCLA. If that UCLA job opens up, that will make me nervous about keeping Mutz. He's long indicated that he is a West Coast vibe sort of man. LA, and that's a really high-profile job. Even though they seem to have fallen off, they have had a Final Four, I think, in the last 5 years. If those dominoes fall in that way and that UCLA job opens up, I would be nervous that he might make a move that direction. So we're not out of the woods by any stretch as far as what could potentially happen if Louisville does announce that Cronin is moving out of UCLA to Louisville. Then you may see that job open up. That would make me nervous. That's the only one that really makes me nervous right now, based on what I can read and see.
Well, I fully understand where you're coming from there, Jason. I mean, UCLA has got that kind of cachet, and now they're in a stronger league. You know, now they're going to be in the Big Ten, and more people get a chance to watch them, I think. And, you know, Bruce points out that Mick Cronin's got a $20 million buyout. UCLA is not in the best situation financially. That's exactly why they joined the Big Ten, because I think it's the only way that they might have been able to stay afloat as an athletics department. So that might actually come into play when it comes down to it. Can you afford Mus in that case?
Hickey & Hull Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey & Hull Law Partners specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Dudley, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How about y'all?
Doing really good, man. Really good. Trying to figure out what's going on with Mus, and I think right now fans are just a little bit nervous or wondering whether or not he will continue to be the Arkansas head men's basketball coach.
Yeah, I wish I had a definitive answer on that, because I'd run out there and race and tell everybody. But I do think there are certain jobs that if they were to open, that he'd certainly give consideration. You have to do that. You know, that's just how the system works and all that. I do think that in knowing him like I do, I think he would definitely not like to leave here on this type of note. And he did make it fairly clear after the game that he was going to go to work, and this is the day. This is the day that basketball coaches get to work or really, you know, throw it into overload with the portal opening. I was just sitting here thinking how nice it was that for the first 30 plus years of my sports writing career, there was no such thing as the portal.
Yeah, well, that's not the life we lead now, is it?
Not at all.
Hey, Dudley, did you watch the SEC tournament? Were you surprised at Auburn's victory? How far? I mean, the SEC got 8 teams into the big dance. Who out of the SEC you like to maybe make it to the Final Four?
Well, even though Tennessee didn't show up, and I thought they, you know, with the defense they played, that they would have been able to get through the tournament. Of course, Kentucky was always there and getting it done, but didn't this year. Those first 3 seeds all went out. Auburn is playing really good basketball, regardless of what you think about Bruce Pearl as a person or what he's done in the past. He's always been a really good basketball coach. He brings his guards along during the year. That's certainly what's happened now. And really, Johnny Broome is as good an inside player, I think, as we have in the league in terms of his all-around play, being able to step out, make shots, and all that. So, very impressed with him. But, yeah, I think Auburn's got a real good chance. I think Kentucky got a nice draw You know, I think if they, you know, if their talent plays up to its potential, then they've got a chance to go on a run. And again, I'm still, you know, think that Tennessee has all the things they need to get it done. I just didn't understand. I was watching that game the other day. I just didn't understand, you know, what was going on there, because it was like the Space Jam and the superpowers got sucked out of them somehow.
Tennessee, South Carolina could be a pretty interesting Sweet 16 matchup if it gets there. Carolina, as a number six seed, felt a little bit odd. Second place in the SEC, great defensive metrics, but I guess they didn't have a really great strength of schedule outside of the conference. They didn't have a really great net ranking, and they had some blowout losses. I mean, you know, a 40-point loss, although that's to a good Auburn team. I wonder how long South Carolina can last in this tournament.
You know, I like their team, and certainly they hit a wall there, it looked like to me, you know, toward the end of the season. As you mentioned, that loss was, you know, I think an outlier, but I really like their coach. I think he did a great job. I don't think there's any other choice to be the SEC Coach of the Year when you think that they were picked dead last in almost all the preseason rankings. And, you know, for the longest time, they were right there at the top, went into some buildings like Tennessee and won. So, you know, I think South Carolina's got a chance there. Now, that being said, you know, it's just once you get in there, and you know, you guys know this full well, it's the breaks and the matchups and all that sort of thing. If they can get into a game at the tempo they want to play, and, you know, they can try out that 1-3-1 a little bit, you know, kind of help them as well. You know, I like their choices, but, man, I tell you what, I'm a Ric Flair guy, and to be the man, you got to beat the man. So right now, I haven't filled out my bracket, but I think I'm going to put UConn at the end of it again.
UConn's tough, man. That Newton, he's a fifth-year senior, their guard, and they have a big, they're methodical in what they do. I'm with you, Dudley. It might be if UConn has to beat themselves. What did you make of this Texas-Tennessee second round matchup? You think the committee knew what they were doing there?
Absolutely. I mean, they can always tell me they're not and all that, but, you know, those are certainly really good storylines, and as a sports writer, I appreciate when they do that. And I do think that sometimes they just do it out of spite at times. But I think that'll be intriguing. I've had the opportunity to actually sit and talk with Rick Barnes for a couple of hours while in Brooklyn one time, and I've always been a big fan of his. I know that you know, I think he does a great job. He's certainly gotten the tag of not being a postseason coach because of what's happened recently. But, you know, I've always thought he's a good dude and a good coach. And it, you know, if I was going to pick one team out of the SEC to get there, it'd be Tennessee, I think.
I got to ask if you know anything that's going on with the women's roster right now. Talia Scott entered the portal earlier today. I think everybody expected that was coming. The situation with Sailor Poffenbarger, though, is much less straightforward. Right now, I think people are questioning if she's still on the team. You don't see photos of her and photos that the team is putting out from practice. And I mean, look, it's also just a reality of college sports now. The portal's open, so if you don't see photos of her and you wonder, well, why is your top rebounder not being featured? People will wonder about that.
Yeah, I can't wait to get in a press conference setting again. And, you know, I think we'll get maybe some more information then, but was not surprised at the Scott decision. That's been clouded in mystery, too. I think you're probably a little bit closer to the situation there than I am, but as clouded in mystery for the all year, and for a phenomenal player, for her to only get to play that many games this year. Certainly injuries played a part of it, but there's something else going on there. And you know, I think, you know, I've never tried to tell anybody. I'm not friends with Mike Neighbors. I've been friends with him long before he was a coach here. You know, I think he's a good dude. At the same time, when you have these situations, roster upheaval, you know, not coming down the stretch, you know, with any momentum, the fact that you didn't make the NCAA tournament, those are questions that, you know, are rightly being asked by fans. And I think, you know, they'll take an all-encompassing look at the program. I'm not going to sit here and say he's definitely going to be back. I'm not going to say that he should, but I do know that there was a lot of variables in there this season that did not quite come off the way you would have wanted to, starting with the situation with Jersey and Sasha, and those were a couple of your rotation players. But it just you can't just sit here and say do the Niedermeyer thing and say all is well.
I like how you put it there. What about, we got a text in here from Seth. He wants to ask, what do you think about the Cardinals extending Oliver Marmol out of nowhere? Like you don't see contract extensions for baseball managers at spring training very much.
Yeah, and then it's John Mozeliak, the explanation of they might get off to a slow start and they didn't want people questioning if what would happen if they get off to a slow start. Well, goodness gracious, what is your job? Your job is to put a great roster on the field, to have a manager. I know that the Albert Pujols and Yadi Molina things are looming out there as possibilities to come on and coach later on. I didn't get it at all. Surely there's got to be some outs in there where they don't pay as much money. But, to me, I guess probably it's something similar to a lot of these coaches get the vote of confidence and they extend their contracts. Somebody got extended the other day to 2027. Can't remember who it was, a basketball coach that, I didn't think had any need for that. Sometimes they do it just for publicity. Sometimes they do it to try to give that coach thing. But was I for that? Absolutely not. I'm not sold on Ollie. I want him to succeed because he's coached my professional baseball team. But, I just don't get things sometimes. But these are people who have more money than me and make decisions that oftentimes I don't agree with.
Dudley, we'll leave it there. Appreciate you coming on today.
That's a happy, shiny feeling there, huh?
We could have
gone into the Arkansas. How about myself?
I was going to say we could have gone the Arkansas baseball direction and had a little happier things to talk about, but we'll do that another time.
Sounds good.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.